Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Q4 FY24 earnings conference call of Navin Fluorine International Limited, hosted by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Shivani Karwat from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, and welcome to the Q4 and FY24 earnings conference call. Today on this call, we have Mr. Vishad Mafatlal, Chairman, and Mr. Anish Ganatra, Chief Financial Officer of Navin Fluorine International Limited. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations as of today. Actual results may differ materially. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. A detailed safe harbor statement is given on page number 2 of investor presentation of the company, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange and company website. With this, I now hand over the call to Mr. Vishad Mafatlal for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you all to Q4 and FY24 earnings call. I am joined by our CFO Anish and Payal from Orient Capital, our investor relations advisors. I hope everyone got an opportunity to go through our financial results and investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange as well as our company's website. Before I start with my comments on the business performance, I would like to brief you on some key developments at Navin Fluorine. I am pleased to welcome Mr. Abhijit Joshi to our board as an independent director. With recomposition of the board imminent in the near term, as independent directors complete their respective tenures, Abhijit would be a great addition to our diverse and experienced board. Abhijit is a founding and managing partner of Veritas Legal. He has a legal career spanning over 3 decades. Over the years, Abhijit has advised various business houses, promoter families, global conglomerates and large private equity houses across industry sectors on numerous complex deals and cases. The board and I have progressed on the search for a new CEO and have narrowed down our selection and are hopeful of concluding the process very soon. It gives me pleasure to inform you all that the board of directors today has recommended a final dividend of ₹7.50 per share of ₹2 each. The company has already declared and paid 2 dividends, one interim and one special one-time special dividend of ₹5.250 and ₹3.150 per share respectively for the financial year ending 31st March 2024. The total dividend for the financial year ended 31st March 2024 works out to ₹15 per share, 750% per share of ₹2 each. Moving on to some key updates on the operational performance of the business. Despite global headwinds, I am pleased to say that we have delivered robust performance across HPP and specialty businesses, while the performance in the CDMO business is below our expectations. In the last fiscal, we have delivered revenues of ₹2,065 crores and an operating EBITDA of ₹398 crores, underpinned by strong operating cash flow delivery of ₹750 crores for FY24. Starting with the HPP business, we worked jointly with Honeywell to ramp up our plant at Dahej, and the same has stabilized. Plant's production during the quarter was significantly higher than any of the last 3 quarters. Our HF plant, R22 and R32 plants are running at full capacity for another quarter in a row. R32 plant achieved higher than rated capacity in the last quarter. As anticipated, we are witnessing positive trends in the domestic pricing of R32. Current weather conditions plus growth in home appliance industry should drive growth in the refrigerant gas business. This reaffirms our decision to double our R32 capacity, which will be operational by Feb 25. The capex is progressing well. Our AHF project for adding 40,000 metric tons of hydrofluoric acid capacity at Dahej is also progressing well and is as per schedule. Moving on to the specialty business. Aggressive measures from industry, inventory reduction by global agchem majors coupled with dumping by Chinese players have impacted the agchem demand, albeit impacting more to players in the generic space. We are much better placed to weather the headwinds due to long-term take-or-pay contracts for dedicated plants and our continued focus on innovative molecules for our customers. Further, our strategy to launch 3 to 4 new molecules every year provides a pipeline of opportunities to our MPP assets. Chemical charge at the agro-speciality plant at Dahej has been initiated with commercial production expected by end of Q1 FY25, early Q2 FY25. As indicated, firm orders for the dedicated capacity for FY25 are in place. A capex of 30 crores towards development of a completely new capability in Surat is on track and is expected to generate revenue from FY25. Moving on to the CDMO business. Our CDMO business delivered weak results due to deferral of sales of key molecules. Few early stage molecules of our customers did not get validated to the next phase. Looking ahead, our strategy to secure a right mix of late stage molecules and to have a strong base load and early stage molecules to create pipeline for future growth is showing early signs of success. We have secured visibility of orders from existing MSA with European CDMO for FY25. Completed validation campaign for one late stage molecule from a UK pharma major. Received PO for 2 new late stage commercial molecules for a European and a US major. All these are very exciting and promising opportunities with a blockbuster peak revenues for the end product drugs. Given the nature of the business, these will take time to mature at our customer's end with validation process, etc. And some of these will play out in the quarters to come. We also announced a capex of 288 crores towards setting up a cGMP4 facility to be future ready. Phase 1 for this capex has started and we are progressing as per schedule. During the quarter, I have also continued my customer connect by visiting existing and new customers across businesses and geographies. This is aligned with our strategic priority to expand the customer base in the US, Europe and the Far East. We have also started exploring opportunities for our performance advanced material businesses. At Naveen, we have always believed in continuously striving for excellence and building collaborative relationships with our customers. Finally, I'd like to end by stating that the year has been tough for the entire industry, though our mid and long-term view of our businesses remain intact. Our focus remains to driving the businesses sustainably over the long term by ensuring a focus on manufacturing excellence while pursuing disciplined growth. I thank all of you for your reinforcement and trust upon us. With that, I will hand it over to Anish.
Thank you, Vishad Bhai. Good evening and thank you all for attending the earnings call. Let me take you through business-wise performance for the quarter. Our specialty business sales increase reflects the availability of full quarter capacity at Dahej, higher utilization at Surat, and addition of new molecules within our product portfolio. In the last quarter, we added one molecule at Dahej and 2 molecules at Surat, including a performance material molecule. Our HPP business revenues increased due to capacity addition of R32, which got offset by muted export realizations and lower HFO. Domestic R32 prices are witnessing a positive uptrend. The challenges faced at the HFO plant are behind us now, and the plant is operating at higher utilization. The sales of this plant is significantly higher in the quarter than in the previous three quarters. Our R32 plant has also achieved higher than rated capacity during Q4 FY24. Our CDMO business revenues in the last quarter were below its potential. We have indicated in our earlier call as well. The expanded MSA with the European-based CDMO customer is promising and expected to contribute, along with renewed business development effort, to growth from second half of FY25. Of FY25 expected sales from European MSA, we have 50% of the order in hand for FY25. Our future strategy for this business is to develop solid pipeline emerging of late-stage and commercial opportunities. In this direction, we have completed a validation campaign for a late-stage drug for a U.K. pharma major in Q4. We have secured a PO for validation campaign for a late-stage drug for a EU major pharma player. Further, we have POs in hand for two RSMs for delivery in calendar year 25 for a drug recently approved by FDA for commercial launch for a U.S. major customer. Moving on to the financial performance of the company in Q4 and FY24. The sales in this quarter were impacted largely due to lower sales in CDMO segment, which is a higher margin business, and pricing pressure in the export market of R22. Lower than expected sales resulted in decline of EBITDA margins, reflecting lower operating leverage. I will now share the highlights of our performance for FY24 and Q4 FY24, post which we will be happy to take questions from all of you. For FY24, on a consolidated basis, the company's reported revenue from operations of 2,065 crores as against 2,077 crores in FY23. Operating EBITDA in FY24 stood at 398 crores as against 550 crores in FY24. Down by 28%. Just a correction, 550 crores in FY23, down by 28%. Operating EBITDA margin stood at 19.3% as against 26.5% in FY23, lower by 720 basis points. Exceptional item includes gain from sale of colony land at Surat for 52 crores. Profit after tax stood at 270.5 crore for FY24, as against 375 crore in FY23, reflecting higher depreciation and finance cost associated with the commissioning of the Dahej assets. Now, coming to the quarterly performance for Q4 FY24, the company reported net revenue from operations at rupees 602 crores against 697 crores in quarter 4 FY23. Operating EBITDA was 110 crores as against 202 crores in Q4 FY23. PAT stood at 70 crores as against 136 crores last year same quarter. Within the context of short-term headwinds, we have continued to ensure a tight financial framework. In particular, for FY24, the business generated operating cash flow delivery of 750 crores, aided by our continuous efforts on driving working capital down, resulting in a release of 361 crores cash during FY24. Our net debt to equity ratio at the end of March 24 stands at 0.35 versus 0.37 at the end of March 23. So that's it from my side. We'll now open the floor for question and answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have our first question from the line of Rohit Nagraj from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. The first question is on HFO. So on slide 8, we have mentioned that lower HFO. So is it basically volumes or is it value? And since the plant is now stabilized, when do we expect to go back into optimum utilization? And any take or pay that we have exercised in FY24? Thank you.
All right. So on the your first question about what does that lower HFO mean, it's if you remember in the last year, Q4 FY23, we achieved record production of HFO, and we said that time that we ran the asset at its full throttle. This year, what we are saying is that the volumes have achieved stability. We've got to where we should be getting to. So that comment is related to lower volumes. Okay? Also, pricing is going to change, right? Each year, the pricing is dependent on the raw material prices that go into it, etc. So there is a pricing impact too, but primarily volume impact. Now, what was your next question? Sorry.
So when are we expecting to go back to optimum utilization and any take or pay that we exercise in FY24?
So just to give you a sense, for FY24, as you know, our plant had issues on stabilization in the early part of the year. If we achieve the same rate as what we've achieved in quarter four for the remainder part of FY25, then we should expect a 1.3 times increase in the volumes.
Sure. And take or pay?
So to answer your question in a simple word, we are already there, in terms of, I don't call it optimal utilization, but like we've said last time, that the utilization is good enough for me to meet the demand that is currently at play. Take or pay, we've not had to exercise because the contracts from Honeywell are supporting that. Supporting the orders or supporting the minimum offtake.
Right. The second question is on CDMO. So till last year, we used to have about $40 million of yearly run rate. Obviously, it used to be lumpy on a quarter-to-quarter basis. Incrementally, that base run rate, will it continue at 40, given that in FY24 we have done close to about, say, $32-33 million?
See, it will continue at that, but, I would like to give some color to that answer. Like CDMO, we've always talked about the fact that our strategy is to balance the early and late stage molecules. There is some solid, meaningful progress on that, which both Vishad Bhai and I have highlighted in our speech, plus is also on the slide. As all of that comes through, along with the orders that we have for the Fermion MSA, we certainly internally have strong belief of having a better year this year compared to last.
Sure, sir. Thanks for answering all the questions and all the best. Thank you.
Thanks, Rohit.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir. Thanks for taking the question. I got three. I will ask the three. One, on the CDMO business, can you help us explain that this European CDMO order which we have received 50%, what is the annual order?
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Sanjesh. Can you please be a little louder?
Okay. Is it good enough now?
Yeah, that's better, Sanjesh.
Thank you, sir. So on the CDMO business, I just wanted to understand this European CDMO, which we are expected to start from the second half of FY25, and we have received a firm order. What is the size of this order? This is why we are telling that the recovery will be in the second half. That means first half, again, are going to be muted. Is that the right understanding? That's number one.
Okay. Hang on. Go on. Go on. You want to finish?
Okay. Second, on the specialty side of the business, what do we mean by performance material? What exactly are we indicating there? That's number one. And number two, with Q4 exports being at 1,200 crore, are we operating everything at full capacity what we have started? Except the fluoro molecules where we are charging now, so that revenues will start probably coming from Q2 onwards. That will be a fair assumption. And last, on the margin side, this quarter, on the standalone, the EBITDA margin is at 12.8%, and mix change between the specialty and CDMO is there, but HPP contribution has remained stable. The understanding was that the margins are not very different for these two segments. Why is there a drop in the there's a short drop in the margin on that count? So these are the three questions. Thank you.
All right. So first thing on your so thanks for the question, Sanjesh. But on the CDMO, your question about the size of the order. See, typically we would not give out numbers, but we've always said that the Fermion order was a multi-year, multi-million dollar contract. That we've already disclosed in the market. Also remember, the nature of this business is that you're always going to have an elongated period between the time you submit trial orders to the point that you actually, you know, get registered, et cetera. I'm sure you're aware of that. So what's going to happen is you're going to start to see some revenue come in this year, decent-sized revenue. I wouldn't put a number to that. But if you had to get an indication that, so for calendar year, whatever we get in 2024, in calendar year 2025, that will be twice of that, and in calendar year 2026, it would be thrice of that. And that's just the way it would work in terms of completing our registrations for all the three molecules that we have the MSA for. Now, to your point, while the business is muted in the first half versus second half, the business is actually muted not because only of the Fermion order. You know, as we've explained to you before, you know, the entire process of going through validation takes time. We are at where we are in this quarter in terms of, you know, performance that we are also not satisfied internally, simply because our order books are weak, right? And we're addressing that. We're working that to make sure that our development teams are focused. We have a strategy around addressing which customer, what molecules we want to target. As we progress on that, we will keep you guys updated, as we've done today, but that will take some time to play out. So our current estimate is that that will start to play out in the second half of this year rather than the first half of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, your question on the specialty business in terms of performance material, what? So performance material are basically, you know, all the emerging materials in both, whether you call them performance or advanced materials, but they would be things like solar grade HF, you know. You would also have semiconductor grade HF into that. We will also have some advanced materials that go into specialized applications, you know, that have significantly better effectiveness in achieving the desired outcomes in those industries. And so, for example, you could have, you know, things which go into the IT centers, data centers, you know, to bring energy efficiency, et cetera. Yeah?
Got it. This is the electronic division which we were earlier indicating. Is that a fair assumption?
You could call it that. The reason why we are calling it advanced material, because it goes beyond just electronic applications.
Okay.
Yeah? Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. The third point around margins. Now, you know, again, I'm going to talk through on the consolidated level. On the consolidated level, you know, the margins are lesser than last year and significantly lesser. One has to look at that, but that is a result of two things primarily. One, the fact that our CDMO contribution into that revenue is far lower compared to last year, CDMO being a high-margin business. Second is the ref gas prices compared to last quarter and this quarter that we are talking about are very different. And again, I'm sure you're aware of that, yeah? So those two things drive the margin. Having said that, you know, in the last call that we had, you know, we talked about a 15% margin when we reported Q3 numbers. And we talked about a journey from 15% to 20% to 25%.
Okay.
And if you remember that conversation, we are already more than halfway through the 15% to 20% journey. In the coming quarters, we will take that journey further. And as the operating leverage comes in with the projects, both in your dedicated agro projects or the CDMO or in other ways, you know, you will start to see the operating leverage play out, taking the revenues to 20% plus.
Got it. On that specialty way, have we completely exhausted the capacity in MPP and dedicated now in this quarter?
So, you know, the only way I can articulate that question or answer that question is actually through referring back to the prior conversations, yeah?
Okay.
So the dedicated molecule plant that we had in Dahej, which is already operational at a CapEx of 125 crores, if you remember that.
Correct.
We've already achieved the PAR for that in FY 2024. Okay?
Okay.
MPP 1, which we've always called as, you know, CapEx of 195 crores, for FY 2024, we are at 80% of the par level indicated.
Oh.
Okay?
Got it.
Now one has to remember, so I've told you the 80%. So if you think next year is going to be 80%, but you know, Vishad Bhai has already mentioned in his commentary the global headwinds on the AgChem side. That's going to have its play, yeah? So again, in the AgChem side, nobody is expecting a hockey stick recovery. The recovery is going to be slow, progressive, and you will start to see it in the second half of the year. Yeah?
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. Just one bit. So considering that there is a gradual recovery in CDMO, margin of 25% will be more like a 26 number and not 25 number. Will that be a fair assumption?
I would not jump to that, and I would not say that in either ways. I would not answer that. I think I've given enough guidance directionally. I don't want to give specific numbers to you, but, you know, in our own sort of way, I've, you know, if you look at last quarter, we were at 15, this quarter we are at 18, and 18 is sustainable. We are going to take it, this 18 to 20. So I'm sure directionally, again, you can see the pace at which we are working. I'll leave it at that.
Fair enough, sir. Thanks for answering all the question in such a detail. Appreciate the effort.
Thanks, Sanjesh.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to strictly only two questions per participant. Should you have follow-up questions, we request you to rejoin the queue. We have our next question from the line of Sudarshan Padmanabhan from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my question. So my question is to understand the underlying demand on the specialty chemical side. So we have seen the fourth quarter to be much better than the previous three quarters. You had talked about, you know, at least the agrochemicals being a pain. If you can, you know, throw some color with respect to where are we seeing, you know, the longer term demands coming in from. I mean, on a quarter-to-quarter, the growth that you are seeing, is it a reflection of an improved demand environment, or is it, you know, largely driven by restocking? Some color on this.
Okay. So thanks, Sudarshan. See, again, from, and again, you guys know this better than me. I mean, every global industry player has talked about the AgChem environment, and we are no different in that, okay? So on the AgChem environment, if you look at the full year, the year has been full of challenges, both in terms of the uncertainty on demand, the impacts from higher for longer interest rates, you know, the impact that has on the end farmer behavior in terms of the stocking mentality, in terms of the dumping that's going on from China at cost. So there are several headwinds in that space, right? Now, we are in a relatively fortunate space because we have a good mix of innovator products, which tend to remain more protected compared to the generic AgChem players. So to some extent, we have the protection, but having said that, when prices are cheap, you know, the farmers, end farmers may find substitutes, you know, but those substitutes are short-term behavior changes. In our interaction with the customers, everybody expects that to come back. And again, if I look at the whole year, we would see that demand coming back towards the Q3, Q4 of this year rather than sooner. So we do expect our first half to remain muted compared to the second half. Second half of the fiscal, we are expecting recovery, but not a hockey stick type recovery. The recovery will be gradual and progressive. Does that answer your question, Sudarshan?
Yes, sir. The second question from my side is on understanding the, you know, CRO CDMO space. What we understand from a lot of Indian players as well as global players is there's been a slowdown, again, because of higher interest regime. I mean, not specifically talking about projects, but are we seeing that kind of a slowdown impacting us on the healthcare side as well?
So, Sudarshan, see, we've actually been very encouraged from our conversations with the customers, you know, and it's a testament to the fact we started talking about shift in the strategy only a couple of months, you know, where we said we wanted to balance late stage versus, you know, early stage molecules. And, as that strategy comes into play, you know, we are extremely pleased with the reception we've had, the three, four examples we've shared today on the call. I don't want to talk about numbers, but they're very, very promising prospects. Having said that, small biotechs, large, if the interest rates are higher, everybody is out to optimize. You know, the way we are optimizing our business, focusing on efficiency, everybody else is doing it. And, you know, in these environments, only the most successful things come out and shine. So we also see that, yeah.
One final question before I join the queue is on the refrigerant gas. We have heard a lot of our peers talking about competition from China, and even we have seen a lot of issues or, pain in the past. We are seeing, as you had mentioned, green shoots over here. So can you, given that we are putting capacity, in here at R32 coming up, can you throw some color with respect to how do we see, the pickup that's happening here, both in terms of the volumes as well as in terms of pricing?
See, R32, we are very, very kind of confident about the decision that we've taken. And one has to look at this in the global context as well. Apart from obviously the growth in the domestic over time, yeah. In the global context, if you see, 24 is like a barrier year, where a lot of the geographies, whether it is EU, US or Japan, all of them have gone through a quota cut restriction on GWP, right? China is already under a restricted regime under the quota. So today they are not able to do what they did last year. Apart from that, China itself has its own quota for domestic and exports, which is not fungible. So, all of that starts to play into over time on how R32 will help the world transition to a lower GWP in the same way that it will do for India. So we remain very, very confident of what the decision we've taken and the prospects of R32 both in the short and the long term.
Sure. Thanks a lot for your elaborate answers, sir. I'll join.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Chetan Thakkar from Ask Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
So just one question. I see a contractual liability of 90 crore on the balance sheet. What does that pertain to?
So, again, a good question, Chetan. So, what has happened over there is, our customer wanted to bring in greater flexibility to the dedicated agro plant that we are currently commissioning. And to do that, they have actually funded the capex associated with it, which is a great sign of the confidence and the relationship we have with them. So that represents primarily that number.
So once the revenue comes, that gets offset.
Sorry?
Once the revenue starts getting booked, that will get offset. That will be a fair understanding.
Oh, yes, yes. But, we are upgrading the asset as we speak to make it more flexible to cater to higher level of molecules. And, again, the customers funding that, eventually that will be seen in our top line as we continue to commission the plant and start delivering the revenues around it. So you're right.
Yeah, got you, sir. This is very interesting. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thanks, Chetan.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Vivek Rajamani from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead. Mr. Vivek, are you there?
Hi, sir. Thank you so much. Hello?
Yeah. Hi, Vivek.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the presentation. Just one clarification and one question from my side. I think in one of the responses to the earlier participant, you mentioned CY25 will be 2x of CY24 and, CY26 will be, 3x of CY24. I just wanted to clarify, this was with respect to only the Fermion contract or with respect to your entire CDMO pipeline?
No, this is only the Fermion contract.
Got it, sir. Thank you. And the second one was also...
I mean, that's essentially... So, Vivek, that's essentially the nature of the MSA, right? I mean, we are going through our registration process, so it will start to trickle in. And we've always maintained this, that, visible revenues from the Fermion contract, you will start to see from calendar year 25 onwards.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for that. And this is the second question was also on CDMO. I think you've been talking about the strategy to, have a much better balance of, early stage and late stage molecules which you guys have been working on. Just internally, just wanted to get your sense on, you know, how long do you think the strategy is going to take before we start to kind of see this, you know, reflected in the numbers from a volatility perspective. Thank you.
So again, you know, the Fermion contract is a commercial molecule. So this is not, you know, this essentially is going to be in play even as we speak now. It's just the emphasis and our focus on how we target customers and how we target the molecules we are working on. And, you know, it will always be a balance. So the strategy will start to see itself play out from second half of this year. Will it have played out completely? No, that will continue. And this strategy is what underpins our unlocking of the 100 million that we've indicated before.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much for that and all the very best.
Thanks.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Abhijit Akella from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you and good evening. First on the commercial molecules that we have now, you know, in the process of signing up in CDMO. Just to understand...
Sorry, Abhijit, your voice is... We lost you there for a minute.
Okay.
Can you hear us?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. What was your question?
Yeah, yeah. Just on the CDMO business, these commercial stage molecules that we are now signing up, will margins on these be comparable to, you know, the rest of the CDMO business that we have been making thus far in past years?
So Abhijit, it's always the case, you know, when you're doing in any of these business, when you're doing the pre-qualification, early trial, you have smaller quantities, higher margins, you know, and then as you progress, you get significantly higher quantities and a decent margin. That's what we are aiming for. So, you know, you can't expect significant volumes with astronomical margins. That would be unreasonable. But that's the nature of the game, you know. So like we've shared before, you know, the commercial molecules will start to provide a base load, make sure the lumpiness is reduced from a strategic lens point, and allow us to focus on also develop promising CRO work on the early stage, which then starts to fill in the pipeline as the commercial molecules drop off the patents over time. So it makes the business very sustainable.
Thank you. That's helpful. And one more question on the this is on the agrochemical side. So when we are talking about, you know, still some lingering softness in FY25, does this pertain primarily to the multipurpose plant NPP1, or is it also related to the Surat portfolio of products we have? Where is the softness?
So the AgChem scenario is across, right? It does not distinguish between assets in Surat or the Dahej. It's an industry phenomena, that slowdown, etc. But having said that, you know, about 65-70% of our molecules tend to be in the patented bucket. You know, we are supporting patented molecules, right, patented end use. So that protects us and gives us reasonable, better protection than some of the other players who are primarily into generics or have a higher generics footprint. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to strictly only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we request you to rejoin the queue. We have our next question from the line of Dhavan Shah from Health Accurate Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. So my question is on the CDMO side. We mentioned that there is some, you know, approval from the FDA for recently for one of the drug which will be, you know, delivered in CY25. So what is the opportunity size there? You know, I mean, what could be the size of the molecule there, and what is our opportunity size in CY25, or maybe the overall?
So again, I'm not going to be specific on numbers, but the three examples we've listed, three kind of things we've picked out and shared with you guys, all of those are in the end drug is possibly in billions of dollars forecast. Of course, you know, that doesn't mean our numbers go that way, but it tells you that it's a big drug, multi, you know, blockbuster thing, so we will have a good share. You know, it gives us more sustainability, frankly. That's what we are looking for, right?
Right. And the delivery would be starting in CY25 itself, or it will be gradual, maybe from 26, 27?
No, so it will be phased. It will be phased. Fermion will start in 25, as we've said, FY25, and then progressively it will come. You know, also remember the way that business works is you get your early orders, you get pre-qualification trials, process trials. So you'll keep getting small orders till you start going through that entire process of registration, and then fingers crossed, things work both for them from the customer point of view in terms of the molecule itself and also for us in terms of the chemistry that we are working with them on.
Okay. And I think there is some difference of the molecules also, plus, you know, the fermion cells would be there plus this molecule in CY25 or maybe FY26 itself. So what kind of run rate are we looking at? Because right now CDMO is running at roughly $30 million kind of the annual run rate.
Sorry to cut you there, Dhawan, but see, we've already indicated that our mix of commercial to early stage, our intent is to get to 50-50 or 60-40 types kind of ratio, right? And we've indicated that, you know, with all the new capexes we've announced, the phase one of that opens up the $100 million opportunity. So that tells you, no? That tells you, in a way, how we will progress directionally to that, yeah?
Sure. And the last one, would it be possible to, you know, break it up the gross block among the three segments right now, roughly in FY24, and I think we have roughly 2,000 crore gross block. So what could be for spec chem, CDMO, and HPP? And what kind of, you know, the peak revenues can we expect from this current capacity?
So we don't do segmental reporting because for us it's part of the same value chain chemistry. So unfortunately, I won't be able to do that or share that with you because that's not how we look at the business, you know. We look at optimizing it across the value chain.
Sure, sir. That's all from us. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Archit Joshi from BNK Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So our first question is within the spec chem piece, especially with the multi-purpose plant comment about capacity utilization that you made earlier, that our exit rate was approximately 80%. I was just trying to do some numbers here, given that we had mentioned the total potential from the MPP with respect to sales that we can deliver be close to 270 to 280 crores. Going by the same cues, there were approximately 4 to 5 products which would have contributed to that kind of a top line. So with this 80% utilization that we mentioned, are all those 4 or 5 products being produced, or there is some more product launches eventually that will help us to get to that number, let's say a couple of years down the line?
No, so we had indicated peak revenue in the range of 260 to 280 crores, if I remember that correctly. And the 80% that I talked of is on the lower end of the range of the 260. Now, to answer your question, see, the fact that the strategy in the spec chem business is very simple, right? You have dedicated plants and you have MPP. Now, you know, you take the plant from a lab, product from a lab stage to production stage in the MPP. As it scales up, the question then starts with the customer on converting that into a dedicated plant. So MPP is like a pipeline that allows you to grow into a dedicated pipeline. Now, what we are looking over there is 3-4 molecules that we introduce every year. And some of those molecules will continue to remain ton level and not go to very high levels of volume. Some of them will not, right? So that is the nature of the business. And that is why you have NPP as a pipeline provider to dedicated large-scale plants. So that's how it kind of works. So, you know, the molecules that we started off, if you remember, in Dahej was with about 4 or 5 molecules. Today we've added in another 3 molecules into that. We've taken the basket of the product portfolio to 8-9 molecules that we can service from the MPP. If any of these scales up to a certain reasonable size, they will convert into a conversation with the customer to look for a potential dedicated plant. Much in the same way that we did the dedicated agro plant for 125 crores.
Got it, sir. Perfect. Sir, one last question on CDMO. While it's quite appreciable that you've started giving out some details on how we are progressing with some pharma companies and the UK pharma major addition after the previous quarter's announcement with some strategic dealing with a US-based company, I just wanted to understand if one has to substantiate this. Is this in the same direction that you mentioned earlier that will help us reach a 50-50 split between early stage to commercial molecules? And would this also mean that in the next leg of our capex, which we announced last quarter, 288 crores, these initiatives will land some place in that new plant over a period of time?
Yeah, indeed. So the new plan that we've new capex that we've announced is like we've always split, right? Phase one and phase two. Phase one is largely to cater to Fermion, yeah, or the European CDMO player that we've talked about. And you know, as these molecules reach a scale, phase two will start opening up a conversation for us as well. You know.
Understood, sir. Thanks a lot for answering and all the best.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to answer questions from all the participants in the conference, please limit your questions to strictly only two questions per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, you should rejoin the queue. We have our next question from the line of Madhav Marda from FIL. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you so much for your time. I just wanted to add one question. When we give the CDMO, we want to get to that $100 million annualized revenue. Project which we speak about, which is the billions of dollars in sales for the end product, does that, do we assume ramp up of that in our $100 million guidance, or because that is a very large opportunity, and if that clicks, it could kind of exceed the $100 million?
So when we spoke at the last quarter and we announced the phase one, we talked about phase one unlocking the $100 million itself.
Okay.
But, you know, it's all fungible. Ultimately, we are filling in the bank from where we are today.
Yeah.
So you've got to look at it in perspective of that number too, yeah? It's not like we are at 600 crores today to go beyond that, if you know what I'm saying. So all of this will contribute to that. You know, when we are at 100, we'll talk beyond 100.
Yeah, no, but this 100 million assumes the ramp-up of that particular molecule?
No. So everything will play into it. No, I mean, it's not like, you know, today when I'm getting an opportunity, I'm not going to say this molecule is incremental to that. It's incremental to where I am today. So everything plays into getting there, yeah?
Okay. And just a follow-up there, we're basically supplying an intermediate for this drug. It's like a fluoro intermediate, something like that. Is that how we should look at the product which you're supplying?
Yeah, sorry, can you repeat your question?
This product which we're supplying, or the molecule which we're supplying for this blockbuster drug, it's like a fluoro intermediate, something
yes,
like that?
Yes, all of them fluoro intermediate.
Alright, thank you.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Dhruv Muchhal from HDFC Asset Management Company. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. In the last quarter, you had mentioned that the HPP Honeywell contract would give about 450 crores revenue in FY25. Does that guidance remain? And is there any implication because of any raw material price movement for us to change our stick to that guidance?
No, that still remains intact. That doesn't change.
There should be no implication, of course, the downwards because of the RM price movement.
No, So again, we wouldn't go down that path. Today, what we can see is in that range. But if it goes up, it goes up. I mean, I wouldn't sort of comment on it today.
Okay.
But the guidance we gave is intact, yeah?
Okay, sir. And the second question is just to get a summary on the spec chem. So this year, I think you're about 850 crores revenue. You have the 540 crores project coming up. But so overall, how should we see growth for the next year, say 25? If you can give some guidance in terms of growth that you're expecting for FY25.
So, you know, if you start, and I'll probably answer this on a more holistic level than just spec chem. If you look at our FY24 numbers and you start to think about what is Naveen doing beyond that, which will start to see itself coming into light in FY25. You know, clearly there will be some contribution coming from the new R32 capex as that comes on stream. There will also be some contribution coming in, and I've indicated that just before, that the HFO plan that we've done this year, if I take it to next year, it's 1.3 times of that. So that will come into play in terms of growth. If the dedicated agro plan that we put into commissioning, at the end of June, early this, that will come into play. The CDMO growth that we've talked about will also come into play. So I've given you the building blocks, but I'll leave you to make the assessment on the numbers.
Yeah, so just to clarify, because your comments, just to be sure, so you have these two MPPs, one MPP and one dedicated, which is almost fully ramped up. There is no weakness in this segment. The weakness that we are seeing is probably in the new business or some of the existing businesses which are already weak. Maybe weakness probably could be there, but the existing contracts or MPPs, the dedicated and MPP, there the run rate of revenue should probably continue.
So one has to remember, see, when you have a take or pay, that will you'll always get the volumes, okay? In this market, in this scenario, all of us have to remain competitive. So, you know, revenues will see pressure at some point because we have to get more efficient as we start to build this asset, in which we are doing. And which is why, you know, whenever we talk about the strategy in Naveen, everybody talks about, and particularly Vishad Bhai talks about operational excellence with disciplined growth, yeah? And that's the idea, that you come in, you bring in, you operate the asset efficiently, you share the results of that efficiency with the customer, and in the process actually get your growth as well, you know.
Sure,
so there will be a combination of everything, you know. We have to be cognizant to the environment in which we are operating.
Got it. That's helpful. And so quickly, what is your CapEx guidance for FY25?
Sorry, your voice is muffled. What did you say?
Check CapEx for FY25.
CapEx?
For FY25.
I mean, I think, again, I've said this before. See, our operating framework, you know, whatever cash flow, we said 500 to 600 crores of cash flow. I think that still remains ops cash flow. That still remains intact. We will continue to have CapEx spend in that range, actual CapEx spend in that range, whether that is for committed CapEx or new CapEx. That's the capacity we have within the financial framework that we've set out for ourselves.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. We have our next question from the line of Ranjit from IIFL Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Just carrying forward the CapEx question. So now most of the issues that we had in FY24 have seems to be stabilized and running at an optimal utilization. So what's the thought process on the next leg of CapEx? I believe HF is what is likely to be there by the end of this financial year or early next financial year. So how do you intend to utilize that and the thought process behind utilizing that incremental AHF capacity?
So the incremental AHF capacity will come into play at the end of FY25 or early FY26, yeah? But in terms of your question on the CapEx guidance, see, if you think about it, and we've always laid this out, right? Our strategy is to create four material businesses, yeah? The three vertical segments that we currently have, HPP, Speciality, and CDMO, and we've laid out, I think, good approach to get to where we want to get to in those three. And combined with that, we're starting to look at making headway into advanced materials and performance. So that is going to drive our CapEx allocation into which segment and how we do it. But I would sort of say over the next 12 to 18 months, I wouldn't be wrong to say that you would start to see some specific CapEx
dedicated to the performance and advanced materials to start to play.
So if you say next 12 to 18 months, then probably that will take another 12 months to take shape.
It depends on how the opportunity matures, Ranjit. You know, see, a lot of this is, you know, we are going to be very disciplined about this. You know, we are going to make sure that, one, we have the technical capability on getting into what we are getting into, where we are getting into partnerships. We want to make sure those partnerships are with players that we can establish strategic relationships. So all of that will take time. We're not going to be under, see, pressure to sort of accelerate some of this just for the sake of accelerating. So I'm giving you a very outer window, but that's not sort of where we are. I mean, if you remember the entire fundraise conversation that we talked about was always indicated as growth capex to accelerate projects. And so we've created that flexibility in our financial framework that our internal cash flow as well as the ability to raise further money to accelerate something if it's promising enough and the right thing to do from our commitment to our board, to our shareholders, and obviously in terms of the financials and economics around it.
Sure. Thanks for that elaborate answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Jason Soans from IDBI Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for taking my question. I just wanted to know, sir, when you go back, you know, the breakup for the specialty chemicals usually used to be pharma 40%, agrochem 40%, and electronic materials of this industrial would be 20%. Now, in the wake of this weakness in the agrochemical segment, how does that revenue contribution look? And you've already given a lot of commentary on agrochem. So I just wanted some color on the outlook for the pharma and the advanced materials or electronic materials, whatever name you call it. Just some color on the potential for both these segments and the outlook for pharma as well as electronic materials.
So in the spec chem business, the shift from pharma to ag chem has been going on for some time. I mean, today we are possibly about 80-90% ag chem driven, you know. And we remain constructive about the ag chem sector itself. See, ultimately the need for and the demand for agri products is not going anywhere. It is it's going to remain. It's going to remain in terms of both the requirement to produce the agricultural products, as well as the demand for some of these products that allow the farmers to increase their productivity per acre. So that need is always going to remain. You know, we might have these cycles come in and go out, but that need doesn't change. So our view of the sector has not changed while we are seeing some short-term headwinds, yeah? So that's so much on the ag chem. On the performance materials and advanced materials, again, they're very, very promising and things will shape out. We have to be careful in terms of how we progress the opportunity there, you know, the R&D work that we are doing in the space. And we don't talk a lot about it, but we are doing some R&D work ourselves. And also our discussions with customers where we believe that our journey to get the technology is going to take longer, we will accelerate through the right partnerships. So it's going to be a combination of everything, you know. But the opportunity on advanced material and performance science, I'm sure if you Google, you can pick up far more than what I can tell you.
Sure, sir. So in spec chem, we are around 80-90% ag chem and probably 10-20% must be electronic materials. That's what you're saying.
No. So spec chem today does not have a lot. The one molecule, see, we are incubating, advanced materials in different parts of the business, you know. So the molecule I gave you was an example because it's a significant milestone for us that we've now done a molecule in the performance material that we've successfully delivered to the customer. That opens up the opportunity in that space, right? So that was the signal to you. The spec chem traditional business has always been between ag chem and pharma, and our split over there is predominantly about 80% on ag chem.
Okay, 80% on ag-chem. Sure, sir. So, and just further going, sir, just wanted to know, I know it's been a volatile environment and, you know, it's been a difficult year for chemical companies, but just wanted your view on traction on further multi-year long-term contracts. We've been winning, it's been some time, we have won some. So just wanted to know what's your outlook on further winning some multi-year long-term contracts going ahead.
So, see, we've taken this call internally that, you know, our sort of approach with customers will not be transactional where we are very comfortable with customers. We'll get into a strategic relationship. We know that global majors are all looking to create network flexibility. And we want to be available to them and we want to make sure that we participate in that journey. And so that relationship will not be transactional. But yes, you know, as we get into those contracts, discussions, we are here to work with them and work on those long-term contracts. So that is the nature of the business, you know. But we're always going to have a balance between long-term take-or-pay contracts and a product play. So for example, the R32 capex that we announced in the last quarter, you know, and we signaled to the market that we are in the product play in the refrigerant gas business and we want to participate into India's journey on going from a high GWP to a low GWP product. And we will play our part into that.
Sure, sir.
So it will be a combination of things.
Sure, sir. Just lastly, if I can squeeze in, there have been enough questions on CDMO. But sir, just, you know, in terms of a performance perspective, there were, you know, big plans as such. And of course, FY24 has been weak in that perspective. It's quite heartening to know you have a lot of things in the pipeline. So, but just, sir, what has transpired in this year? Of course, you want to scale up this business. But is it a lot of increased competitive intensity from other CDMO players? And how do we just plan to, you know, correct the situation? Just wanted your thoughts on it.
So, again, see, CDMO player in pharma, we've always been an early proponent in that business. You know, 2011 was when we actually made our entry into that by acquisition of the MOL business in
right.
UK. Yeah, and it's been an evolution from there. We have evolved. Yeah, and that's where we've kind of used our own learnings over the years to develop our strategy that we think will work for us and that's aligned with what the market needs. But we remain very constructive of that segment, you know. So in terms of your question on what drives it, I mean, there are different things. I'm sure you read about the BioSecure Act recently as well being talked in the U.S., and, you know, that will have its own drivers. So there will be different drivers at different points in time, but our long-term view remains intact, yeah, on that.
Sure, sir. Thanks for answering all my questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraint, please limit your questions to strictly one per participant. We will take last two questions for the day. We have a next question from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital India. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Thanks. My first question is on the CDMO business. Is the softness in the CDMO business what we have seen in the fourth quarter, is it because of the inventory rationalization trend that is there in the pharma space, or it is because of the pricing angle, or it is because of the your larger dependency or your dependency on the small and mid-sized biotech pharma company? What would be the kind of reason for that? And when you are saying that the sequence of recovery and all that, so what would lead the recovery on the CDMO?
Yeah, so again, we've talked about it. See, the CDMO business has historically been a campaign-driven business, continues to remain a campaign-driven business. And our earlier focus was on early stage molecules. We are now balancing that with late stage molecules. The year-on-year, you know, the degrowth that you see in CDMO in the quarter relates to a molecule that we had in the last year, Q4, versus this year we don't have it because it was a campaign that was run at that point in time. You know, does it mean it will not come in the future? It could, and it we certainly hope it will, yeah? But the nature of the business is that those are campaign-driven orders, and that's why you see the lumpiness. To address that lumpiness is exactly what we are doing in terms of our strategic thinking, that we will balance it with commercial molecules as well. So does that, I hope that answers your question, Surya.
Yeah, And along with that, I just wanted to understand maybe about the industry trends and all that. So do you face even pricing challenge for your CDMO business? That is one. And whether you have faced the inventory rationalization trend, what the pharma is facing currently? And do you, what portion of your business would be dependent on the small and mid-sized biotech pharma companies?
So CDMO business tends to be, you know, it's a very different animal in some sense, yeah, because you are looking at a multi-billion dollar opportunity. If you were one of these drug companies, you are into a space where your product has got promising prospects and all you're looking to is make sure that you get a good partner who works with you as a partner, who's got the capability to handle the chemistry and is able to service you in time. It's more a service industry than a product play because each molecule is a different chemistry, right? So pricing doesn't play, but your ability to service plays a bigger importance in the CDMO business compared to what you would do in the ag chem business, yeah?
Okay. Okay.
So there are different models in some sense. I hope that sort of explains.
Yeah, but if you can still share, sir, what portion of your business CDMO would be dependent on small and mid-sized biotech industry?
No, so we don't look at it that way. We look at it more like which molecules we are playing with. You know, are those molecules progressing on the journey from trial to commercial launch approval? And that's the play, you know. The play is not in terms of selecting companies, but selecting molecules, really, that fit with our alignment on the chemistry capability as well as the outlook on the product.
Okay. If you just allow one more question, sir. On the Honeywell side, if there is a kind of moderation, it could be because of what reason, if you can just share.
So you'll have to elaborate, Surya, because I don't know what you mean when you say moderation.
No, in fact, we have seen some kind of a slowness in the uptake of the HFO, right?
No, I don't think we ever said that. What we said was that if you look at our performance for the last year, we had issues with the plant, which everybody is aware of. This quarter that we are talking about, you know, we put those issues behind us and the plant has actually delivered production that is more than that was delivered in any of the previous three quarters. That's what we are saying.
Okay.
So it's not nothing to do with demand, really.
Okay. And is there any update on that debottlenecking of the Honeywell project, the plant associated with the Honeywell?
I have said this so many times on previous calls, but I will repeat it once more. The debottlenecking of Honeywell plant was not something that was an approved project. It was in the hopper, continues to remain in the hopper. We'll bring it out when the right time and the right opportunity.
Sure, sir. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Surya.
Thank you, sir. Due to time constraint, that would be the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Okay. I would like to thank everyone for taking the time out and joining on the call today. I hope we've been able to respond to your queries adequately. Thank you all.
Thank you. On behalf of Navin Fluorine International Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect the line.